Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks very much for being here with us. I am Cy Killett, your host, and we've got a pretty doggone good show for you today. Second hour, Jason Everett will be here. We'll find out if the last time he was here, someone had thrown soup on him. And so we'll find out if teaching chastity still gets you soup thrown on you, or maybe some other, a different food group. I don't know, but that'll be second hour. And if you have questions about living a chaste life for yourself or for someone else, maybe how to teach that to your children or whatnot, second hour is for you. This hour, a new guest who I'm very much looking forward to talking to, because I'm very much looking forward to the topic. Faith, hope, and love, and the one that we almost never talk about is hope. We spend very little time. How much preaching have you heard about the virtue of hope when you compare it to love and faith? And of course, the virtues are not in competition with one another, but an opportunity to talk about hope, and particularly the difference between Christian hope and the hopes of this world. If you would like to talk about the virtue of hope, if you have questions, 888-318-7884. I'll keep giving out the number as we go. 888-318-7884. Our guest is Robert Mixa. He's the executive director and founder of the Spay Salvi Institute, and that has to do with hope. We will talk about that. Additionally, he's a history teacher in Kraków. I'm going to say Kraków, Poland. He was a fellow at the Word on Fire Institute for several years. He and his wife live near Kraków now. How am I doing, Robert Mixa, with my Polish pronunciation?
Excellent.
Really? I'm shocked. As you say.
Nearly fluent.
Really? Yeah. It's, yeah.
You just put the accent, though, a little bit more on the Kraków.
Oh, Kraków. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Now, Krakow is what we would say here in the United States. And we're working on getting the entire world to pronounce things exactly like we do, but we have not accomplished that feat yet. But here in the U.S., we say Krakow. That's where Pope John Paul II was cardinal. Am I correct about that?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, he studied here at the Jagiellonian, and then spent most of his life, all the way up until he was made Pope. But he always longed to come back to Kraków.
Well, we all love Kraków. I've never been there, actually, but I think
where
there's, I've heard that it's got the kind of medieval city center. Is that right? That's wonderful. And it's still standing, all the old stuff.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people are surprised when they come here for the first time. I was just met a buddy downtown who's American, and we call it the New Rome because you get a sense of, it's just beautiful Italian architecture out here. So you sometimes think in Rome.
I say Roma. That's how they pronounce it. But whatever, if you want to pronounce it like an American, that's fine. The number here is 888-318-7884. All right. Spay Salvi Institute. What does that name have to do with hope?
Yeah, well, it's actually the second encyclical that Pope Benedict XVI wrote. And it's basically just taking the first two words in the encyclical, Spay Salvi, saved in hope. Not John Paul II, Pope Benedict XVI, he as most people know, he dedicated his first two encyclicals to, the first one was Deus Caritas Est, on love, and then the second one was on hope. Eventually, he got to, under Francis, to writing the encyclical on faith. But hope, that's what we decided to name this project, dedicating it to that encyclical, which you mentioned earlier that many people don't really think about the theological virtue of hope. Well, I don't think many people have even read to Spay Salvi, but it's quite a treasure. I think it's one of the best things that Pope Benedict XVI wrote during his pontificacy.
Which is a very high standard, and it is a magnificent. And I think when people do know about Spes Salvi, they know about the passage in there on the on purgatory. I think that's the most famous passage in there, a suggestion of a new way to think about purgatory. But what does it mean, saved in hope? What are we? Why did he write that? What are we talking about, saved in hope?
Yeah, I think he's actually responding to, and he lays this out in the beginning, where actually there hasn't been much thought about hope, but also there's been a transformation of it, namely Christian hope. And so, you know, hope, as you know, the Catechism defines it, is just the confident expectation of divine blessing or of the beatific vision. But what he says in the very beginning is, you know, that faith and hope are very closely related. The two are almost interchangeable. And so very much the substance of the faith is what we see as hope. And so it's this kind of expectation that God in his promises, what God has effected in and through Christ and his death and resurrection, is something that we're all going to be partaking in. So I think that the reason Benedict wanted to, you know, write this was, it's actually interesting that he wrote this in 2007, which, if you look at the American political scene, the word hope was kind of coming back around that time.
Oh, yeah. Hope and change.
You know, yeah, I mean, we've just got a good sense of that with the last DNC last week. But I think that, as you can see a little bit in that, there's a transformation of that. I mean, we all talk about hopes, and but we don't really get a good sense of what Christian hope means. So I think what he does is he's going to outline the whole thing, and it's a great encyclical. I encourage everybody to take a look.
We're talking about hope today with our guest, Robert Miksa, coming to us from midnight in Poland. You kept him up to answer your questions, so call and ask your questions, 888-318-7884. I do think of the theological virtues. You know, there's a certain way in which these things, faith, hope, and love, they can kind of become almost like just words. We're not thinking of their content. But if you had to think of which one in the modern era is the most criticized, I don't think it would be love. It's possible that it would be faith, but the most likely to me is hope, that Christian hope is seen as really an opiate, you know, to take Marx's term, that this hope of the other world is supposed to somehow make us into creatures who don't really accomplish what we should accomplish or you know, strive for the justice and the social justice and whatnot that we should in this world. Is this Christian idea of hope a kind of pacifying hope?
Yeah, Pope Benedict gets into this in the encyclical. And yeah, the criticism, as you just outlined, is basically we look to this other world and we basically undergo suffering. We put up with all of this injustice and we just we put it into the future. And so Marx, you know, who saw himself as like the one who's going to not think about the world but change it, finally, is the one who hopes to kind of realize this. Pope Benedict says that, you know, while we're attached to the future reality, that does have a difference. It makes a difference for today. So there's not kind of a utopian dimension to Christian hope, but it is working for the improvement of the world today. So, but it's grounded in that certitude of what Christ has actually done for us. So it's actually it has much greater foundation than anything else that modern philosophy can conjure up, or things that we can do.
888-318-7884 is the number. And by the way, if you're an atheist person who has that view of Christian hope and you'd like to discuss it with us, we love discussing these things. You are always welcome here, 888-318-7884. But we're an atheist to call and say right now, this Christian hope is a foolish and blinding fairy tale that keeps you from, you know, working for the good of this world. If that were the objection, I think I would say one of the problems with that is there's no empirical evidence of it, that people who are filled with hope, like, say, I don't know, Mother Teresa or Dorothy Day, or you could mean, I don't know why those two came to mind, but you can, again and again, you could point to those people and say, well, actually, they did a great deal of good for others. Hope doesn't seem to be a pacifying virtue.
Yeah. No, I mean, as you said, with the lives of the saints, we just see that if you look at just the history of it, the conditions of the poor have gotten much better because of this, of the you know, dedication of these people. But it's grounded in something that transcends this world as well. So, I mean, there's the dimension that, you know, these dashed hopes that you see with these revolutionaries, because there's a dimension of human freedom that oftentimes is never really focused on. But it being grounded in the love of God, which you see these saints, you know, doing all of their works because of that, is actually what does affect a truly transformed world. It's interesting that, you know, so many historians today who actually are looking at these great, this transformation that has happened from the world prior to the emergence of Christianity, looking at paganism in kind of its true light, actually see the difference that Christianity made. I mean, I'm thinking about people like Tom Holland and others who see that all these great things that we want to uphold, that the Enlightenment is supporting, are actually things that Christianity, in some sense, I mean, you can't really explain it without the emergence of Christianity. But also, too, it's not like you leave behind Christianity and move on to some kind of into some new era. But yet it has the best, you know, actual foundation for then truly transforming the world without expecting, like I said, the world to be some kind of utopia where, you know, we have nothing really to work out at the end. So
maybe when we come back, I'll ask you about the danger of a utopian kind of hope. I know that Pope Benedict talks about that in the encyclical Spes Salvi. Robert Mixa is our guest. He's the executive director and founder of the Spes Salvi Institute, meaning saved in hope. We wanted to talk, as a matter of fact, for months, Darren and I have been talking about, we wanted to do more with the virtue of hope, especially the contrast between the hope of the world and the hope of Christian hope, really. And a couple things I'd like to ask you about when we come back. I would like to ask you about that utopianism. I would like to ask you about what's the fundamental difference between the world, the hope offered in the world's movements and in the church. But also if sometimes possibly this a utopian or worldly kind of hope infects the church so that, for example, people get really upset when the church is not perfect, that kind of thing. We'll talk about that with Robert Mixa when we come back and take your questions, 888-318-7884.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
As a Catholic talk show host and speaker and author, I'm often asked, how should we pray? How do we pray? Really? It's up to you, and that's between you and the Lord. We have wonderful, wonderful formalized prayers in the Catholic faith, such as a rosary, the Lord's Prayer, novenas, but you can also just open up your heart and say, Lord, help, SOS. It's as simple as that. How you pray is really up to you. Ask the Lord how you should pray, and He'll answer you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. The Spes Salvi Institute, you can find it on the line. Spes is spelled S-P-E, Spes Salvi Institute. Our guest is Robert Mixta, one of the founders of the Spes Salvi Institute. And he's coming to us from Kraków, Poland. It's getting better, don't you think? Kraków, Poland.
Better. Yeah. I'll be fluent by the end of this.
I think I will. I think I'll be practically. One of my grandmothers was Polish, and she spoke Polish, but I never got a word I never learned any of it. But I would be delighted if I even take one word away from this conversation. Space Salvi Institute, you can find it online. But if you want to talk about hope, you're welcome to call as well, 888-318-7884. I laid out some questions I wanted to ask our guest, Robert Mixa, when we came back. But I'm anxious to get to a caller. How about if we take at least one call and then we'll let you speak with callers and then I'll get my questions in. Does that sound okay?
Sounds great, yeah.
All right, if you have questions about Christian hope, if you have objections to the Christian hope, whatever it is, you're welcome here, 888-318-7884. Chris is in Rapid City, South Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. I know that on November 20th, I'm going to be in Rapid City, South Dakota, doing the banquet for Real Presence Radio. So maybe I'll see you there, Chris.
That'd be good. You guys hear me okay?
Very well, yeah. Yep, go ahead.
Okay, so I don't really have any objections to hope, but I haven't had the best experience of hope, and my confirmation patron is St. Jude. But I guess my question is, so how do I make the distinction between the theological virtue of hope and, let's say, my hope for a permanent level of virtue, a certain specific virtue, versus, you know, I was recently annulled and having a hope, you know, like Job, I guess Saint Job, you know, chapters 38 through 8 or 40, where he kind of has a second life and gets it all back together and has a new wife and kids and yada, yada. Like, and then as that all relates, knowing that all hope passes from this life to the next, love remains. How do I tie love into that? And which part of it is God's role in the fulfillment of love, both in the present tense and also in the eternal sense? And what's my role to play?
All right, you did just yada yada the Bible. And I've never heard anybody yada yada the Bible before, but all right, go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, I mean, this is really difficult to answer, but also, I mean, it's very, very personal, and I admire you for laying this out. It's, you know, you mentioned Job, and yeah, many people forget about that last part, that actually Job goes on to live kind of a second life and is fully, fully blessed. I hope to refer you to actually in Space Salvi, there's a great section there on suffering. I mean, as Christians, we know that we unite ourselves entirely to Christ, particularly on the cross. And so it's actually really hard to think that, you know, well, we're going to have all the blessings that, you know, Job may partake in, but we know that actually we do in the sense of uniting ourselves to Christ on the cross. And so, I mean, I would just encourage you to take a look at that and to really contemplate Christ and his cross. I don't really know in terms of what your question is actually kind of getting at a little bit more there, but maybe you can respond a little bit.
Chris?
Sure. I guess I'm just trying to understand just hope on a comprehensive level. Like, you have the theological virtue of hope, and then you have just everybody has, you know, hopes in their lives, you know, and the temporal sense of happiness or you know, I'm really still longing to live a truly sacramentally consummated marriage.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Also, I have certain virtues that I'm trying to grow into more, and I'm not at the level of permanence in certain virtues that at least I want, that at least I'm hoping to get to, and trying to determine, like, okay, which part of it is, I mean, obviously all grace is God's gift, but where is my part to play? Like, where can I be a sign of hope for myself and others as well? As it all relates.
Yeah, I mean, I encourage you to read, actually, somebody's really good on this, like the dimension of becoming and hope and being on pilgrimage is Gabriel Marcel. He's really good at looking at we never really fully become in this life exactly what we're called to be. We're always in the state of becoming. And so, I mean, I would not give up. I would not give up hope if you're going to constantly or fall into any type of despair if you're not at that level yet. You made a good distinction between the theological virtue of hope, which is the confident expectation of beatific vision and divine blessing. Just find yourself, root yourself in Christ there, but don't expect necessarily that all these hopes are going to fully realize themselves in this life. But it's hard. I mean, as humans, we're in a way, we are. The fundamental dimension of who we are is to hope in things. And so, just those other things don't necessarily mean that they're going to be fulfilled.
I'm going to say thanks, Chris, very much for the call and for the question. We're talking about the virtue of hope, a virtue that I think doesn't get enough press. And the Space Salvi Institute helping us to think about and practice Christian hope. You can find it at spacesalviinstitute.com. The founder, one of the two founders of the Space Salvi Institute, is our guest, Robert Miksa, coming to us from Poland today. If you have questions about the understanding of Christian hope, then you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. You don't have to be Christian to call and ask. 888-318-7884. I did want to ask you to come back to that question I started to ask you before the break, but sometimes it's hard to know, or maybe it's hard to see when you're slipping out of Christian hope into a more worldly hope. It's not like once you have achieved the virtue of hope, you just live in that virtue. I think we slip in and out. And I wonder sometimes if there's a lack of Christian hope in our complaining about the church. And not to say, I am not in any way trying to excuse the evils, but without excusing evils, is there a way to have hope in the church that doesn't make us unrealistic and kind of utopian, like I don't like the Pope, or I don't like the bishops, and this is what determines whether or not or how wholeheartedly I'm committed to the church, when that certainly can't be the hope that's supposed to ground me in the church, that the Pope will be a good Pope all the time.
Yeah, yeah. If you look at the history, there's many of them have not been very good popes. I think that with this future dimension and fundamentally rooting our hope in Christ, who has established the church, we know that despite all of the situation of the various people within the body of Christ, that's not the foundation. And so, I think that despite, particularly actually when I was thinking about this project, the Space Salvi Institute, I was thinking about many of the scandals that you hear in the church, what's going on, and so I just was basically thinking, well, what are the grounds for which that we have to stay Catholic? And by focusing on hope and rooting ourselves, actually the symbol of hope is an anchor. And so that was really helpful for me to think that actually the anchor is something that it has like an eschatological dimension to it, that it's grounded in something beyond this world. And despite all the kind of becoming and the flaws of the various people, you're rooted in that. And that is what's kind of guiding you. And so, actually looking at the Eucharist too, and seeing that as something like that anchor that is holding you with the presence of Christ, is something that is just very, very, very fruitful for me to contemplate, despite all the scandals and the flaws of the various people. But, kind of keeping this holy fear of God is really, really important in the virtue, the theological virtue of hope. Always being aware of one's own sinfulness is something that is especially needed to cultivate that virtue. If we actually don't focus on our own sinfulness and see our own, fleeing from God and our separation from Him, then we tend to lose that sense of, or we lose the theological virtue of hope. So, I think that despite all of the things going on in the church, we know that that's not the kind of the end all be all of the church. There's just something, it's much more than that. And so anyways, I think that, you know, particularly today, that's why I think it's so relevant to be thinking about the virtue of hope, because there's just so many things that we've now with social media, with all of this kind of exposure, we're seeing things perhaps that we never have before. And I think a lot of people can just fall into despair. And so I think that by this is why Andrew Petterprin is the other co-founder of this. We wanted to really, really emphasize hope.
That's the thing is, I do think sometimes, especially when we're angry Catholics, we forget how despairing the world is, and something we could give if we would just embrace it ourselves is hope to a despairing world.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think, and that's part of, that's like the heart of evangelization is to impart that to others, that hope to a despairing world.
Let's talk about it, because the music's playing. We'll just talk about it a little more on the other side. Our guest is Robert Mixa. We're talking about the Christian virtue of hope, the theological virtue of hope. What is it? How do you get it? How is it different from the world's hope? 888-318-7884. We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests. He does on-air debates. And he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to casociety315.com and join today.
From its earliest days, Catholic faith has been lived by a yearly cycle of feasts and seasons. The new book from Mike Aquilina and Adam Lucas, Feasts of Our Fathers, is a one-stop companion for praying and meditating through the holy days and seasons of the church with help from the most ancient Christian people. Don't just read about the early saints, pray with them. Order your copy of Feasts of Our Fathers now at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore.
My spouse doesn't listen to me. That's tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on most of these EWTN stations. And now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Robert Mixa is our guest. He and Andrew Petterprin, he mentioned before, are the founders of the Spe Salvi Institute. As a matter of fact, trying to bring the light of Christian hope to a world that is in very often in the darkness of despair. If you want to talk about Christian hope, about the virtue, about how to get it, about how it's different than the world's hope, about what it is, to many people, ephemeral. It's hard to say, well, exactly what is it to have the virtue of hope? You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. I'm going to go to the phones and let Robert talk to some folks. But before I do that, I want to invite you once again, 1 month from now, to come to the Catholic Answers Conference. 1 month from today, we'll be at the Catholic Answers Conference. It's September 26th through 29th. Dr. Scott Hahn's going to be there. Kimberly Hahn will be there. Father Sebastian Walsh. Dr. Ray Guarendi is going to be there. Dr. William Junker. All of our apologists. Jimmy Akin will be there. Tim Staples will be there. What's everybody talking about? The Parables, Sermons, and Conversations of Jesus Christ. Try to beat that. You can't. So just come. CatholicAnswersConference.com is the place to go. CatholicAnswersConference.com. We'll do the radio show live and have all kinds of fun, in addition to having serious conversations about Jesus, what he had to say in his parable sermons and conversations. CatholicAnswersConference.com. Robert Miksa is our guest. He's up in the middle of the night in Kraków. I think I went backwards on that one. I don't think that was in advance. I think I went backwards. All right, I'm going to keep working on that. Pronounced in the United States, Krakow, but not everybody has my kind of high-quality Polish pronunciation, so you can say Krakow if you want, and you are welcome to call. He stayed up late. It's the middle of the night there, so please feel free to call and ask your question, 888-318-7884. Robert, I'm going to go to the phones, if that's all right with you, just let some people ask you questions. Yep. Or were we in the middle of something? Did I cut you off?
No.
All right. Marty in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on AM 1260, The Rock. Glad you're here, Marty. Go ahead with your question for Robert.
Yes, hi. Really, this is more of a comment about the previous caller who called in and was kind of trying to reconcile, kind of a theological version of hope along with, you know, his temporal, you know, life and hope here on earth. And I just kind of had a comment on that.
Well, lay it on us.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to say, in listening to the way he framed his question, it just seems as though he's so on the right path, talking about some virtues that he's really been working on and hasn't mastered. And I totally agree with you that it's a lifelong journey. I don't think we ever master a virtue until hopefully we make it to heaven someday and are made perfect. But and the fact that he is, you know, pursuing and wanting to pursue, you know, a sacramental marriage. And it just made me think that, you know, Jesus completely knows his heart and knows where it is. And as he is praying, and I'm sure he is, for these hopes that he has for himself, I think that Jesus will answer him in the affirmative, because he can rest assured that I believe his hopes will be fulfilled, because, you know, there's nothing that he's asking for that I wouldn't think that our Lord would want for him, because it just seems like he's asking for everything that the Lord wants for all of us. And
absolutely.
I just thought he was just so beautiful in his thought process and seemed to have everything perfect. And I think he will definitely realize his hopes one day.
And you wanted to encourage him, Marty. Go ahead. I'm going to let Robert comment, because I am struck that you wanted to encourage him. It does seem to me that when we have come to trust in the Lord, as Marty clearly has, and we have that hope in us, we do want to encourage other people in it. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, hope is there's a social dimension to it. So it's not just an individual just walking down the path by themselves. I mean, there's always, when we pray and we hope, we also pray, we hope for other people that they fully flourish. And so, I mean, there's a section in Spes Salvi in which Pope Benedict XVI gets into this, because oftentimes hope is seen as just kind of, or even the Christian life is just seen as an individual endeavor. He quotes Henri de Lubac in the beginning of Catholicism as that. But there's a social dimension to it. And so, yeah, I mean, Marty, it's very, very, you know, I mean, you're living that out and encouraging, a brother in the Lord to really, really have that perseverance and to continually ask the Lord. So, yes, we need to always encourage each other. Oftentimes, we get so focused on, you know, the we were talking about scandals in the church, and we focus so much on the faults of others that we don't actually then pray for them. And so I just encourage you, everybody to pray for each other. I mean, one of the prayers that I think Pope Benedict or somebody, I think Joseph Pieper, who has a great book on hope. He says that our Father is connected with hope. And Benedict's book on Jesus of Nazareth, when he talks about the Our Father, he says you should pray it from the last verse all the way to the top. Okay, and so, but there's this kind of, you have to pass through this social dimension to it. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But then also seeing us all kind of united and making our way on pilgrimage together to the Lord. So it's not just an individual endeavor. That's actually, and there's a section at the very end in Spes Salvi when he talks about consolation and really, really having compassion and entering into the solitude of others. Most of us, we don't want to take on, you know, the cross of other people in our lives. But hope actually brings us right into that, to truly be present to others. It's not fleeing from suffering, but it's actually entering into it. If that's in your own personal life, but also entering into the suffering and bearing it with the other in their own, with others' lives as well. So the communal dimension can't be forgotten. So thank you, Marty.
Marty, beautiful. Thank you very much. All of a sudden now, lines lit up. We're talking about the theological virtue of hope. Hope is one of the cores of our faith. It strikes me as we were talking that, you know, the apologists love to quote St. Peter saying, be prepared to make a defense. But it's not a defense of Jesus or the faith. You know, it's not a defense of the sacraments. Be prepared to make a defense of the hope that is within you. And now all those other things are part of that. I'm not saying that this is exclusive, but it is something that hope is the thing that Peter wants us to defend.
Yeah. What's fascinating is, I mean, I forget the exact passage, but in Spes Salvi, Pope Benedict defines Christian existence as basically living in hope. And so, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that barely anybody talks about hope today, but it's so central to the Christian life. I mean, that section, what you just said, it's the substance. If you really want to dive into that actual passage that you just quoted, at the beginning of Spes Salvi, Pope Benedict gets into the Greek, and it's profound, this objective, this substance that's already within us. So it's not just like some of the Protestant thought, it's actually like, what does he say? It's actually like an inclination or an orientation towards, but it's actually objectively already in it, the substance. They use the word substance that's already within us. But then it's unveiling.
Yeah, it's not just then. Oh, that's just this future hope you all have. It's already operative in us now, which I think is very, very important. It actually makes a difference to the way we live now if our hope is there, not here. Let me get to Mark in Houston, Texas. He's listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM satellite radio. Mark, welcome. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Robert Mixa.
Taking my call. A couple of things I've noticed as I'm getting older in life, and that is when I think of hope, it reminds me of a marriage weekend my wife and I went to in Hansville, Alabama a couple of years ago at that beautiful shrine there. And the speaker said, you have one goal in life, and that is to get your spouse to heaven. And it is it, everything from there kind of, and I'm paraphrasing here, but I look at all the things that my friends get stressed about. And most of it's about material things. And I think we spend so much of our life worrying about keeping up with the Joneses and that new kitchen is going to make me happy or that new car is going to make me happy. But what I've noticed in myself and I've noticed in a lot of my friends is the more stuff we have, the more unhappy we tend to be and the more stressed out. So how do you define the hope of eternal salvation? And you know, let's keep in mind what the seers at Fatima said. Very, very few people go directly to heaven. Most go to purgatory and the second most go to hell. So how do you stay focused on that end goal, which is eternal salvation, if your hope is I'm going to get a new car, I'm not saying having, you know, decent things is a bad thing, but I see materialism more than anything else, destroying so many lives. It's destroying marriages. And I was watching a program the other day, followed by a game I wanted to watch, and I counted in 3.5 hours, there were 17 different commercials on financial planners, on new cars, and plastic surgery, and it's other things. And I thought to myself, if you watch TV all day, and you watch, say, 5 to 6 hours, like most people do, then you're seeing 60 to 70 ads that do nothing but tell you that you need this and you need that. And there's nothing there about being a better person. There's nothing there about, you know, looking to, you know, whatever your faith path is, Catholic, Jewish, whatever, to live the tenets of your faith. And
well, I want to let Robert comment, because I do think we got the message, Mark. Robert?
Yeah, I think one of the sins against hope is worldliness. And so what you just mentioned there is articulating that. I mean, think about all the ways in which all the things that we go after in life. I mean, whether that's, wealth, status, fame, reputation, honors, power, influence, all those things are in a way, I think also what you're getting at, too, with materialism, that we're so kind of wrapped up in. And so this is actually, I think, especially in America, kind of with the consumerist culture that we have, I think that they're forms of despair. I mean, they're not necessarily like the depression that you find, are also just the willed despair that is very, very radical. But this is actually something that I think is very much a big threat in America, being seen as kind of making it in the eyes of the world. And so many of the saints, I refer you also to Thomas Aquinas gets into this. That thing works against actually cultivating hope. So ways beyond this, I always kind of uphold poverty is actually seen as a remedy to this worldliness. And so we're not all called to live out the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience. But yet, I think that most of us need to cultivate that simplicity and that kenosis of actual poverty. And so I think that, today Pope Francis, upholding St. Francis of Assisi and many of the other saints is something that we really, really need to, think about, because so many of us live our lives trying to find security in this world, whether or not that is kind of, you just mentioned, the various advertisements for insurance and other things, but and not saying those things are bad, but those oftentimes can lead to little subtle forms of despair. I think this is something that's really, really a big problem in America that's not really mentioned too much. So,
Mark, thank you for that wonderful, wonderful point. We got to take a quick break. Our guest is Robert Mixa, Spey Salvi Institute. You can find at Spey Salvi Institute. Read the manifesto there you just click the button on the first page and get a sense of this wonderful effort to reinvigorate hope in a world that is in so many ways in despair. That despair brings with it a darkness that doesn't even know that this experience is an experience of despair. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more questions about hope, the great virtue of hope, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I'm continually amazed and humbled at the way God can work through me to help so many people. Although I have no idea what the caller's questions will be that day, I trust that the Holy Spirit can use my education and experience to guide, challenge, or comfort those who call.
Mast Appeal with Colleen Kelly Mast. Saturday morning, 9 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking about hope and Christian hope in particular. If you have questions, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. We know we're supposed to love one another. I mean, that's pretty clear. We know that faith saves, and we are saved by grace through faith. But what's hope for? And what is this hope thing all about? And that's what we are talking about. It's odd because it's clearly the world has lost love. In many ways, it's a loveless world for many people today. The world is losing its faith. And you can see hope just shrivel up and disappear as those things are gone. And so we want, as Christians, to live in hope and restore that hope. And that is a project that our guest, Robert Mixa, is working on with the Spe Salvi Institute. So on we go back to more calls about the virtue of hope. Kathleen in New Jersey, listening on 89.3 FM. Welcome, Kathleen. Go ahead with your question for Robert Mixa.
Okay, it's not a question, but thank you for taking my call. It's a comment. I've had a lot of challenges and different things in my life, and friends too. They'll discuss with me about hope, and I tell them hope isn't like a wishful or vague feeling of something you want, like I hope I win the lottery or something. But it's where I tell them every time you see the word hope in the Bible, substitute with reliance and trust in God. And I memorize a lot of scripture, and like in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidenced by things unseen. And then faith is the things relied and trusted in God for. Or Psalm 42, where it says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. Well, put your reliance and trust in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And Psalm 130 is a good one, too. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, so in his word do I rely and trust in God. So
Kathleen,
I explain that to my friends, that you, if you substitute those words wherever you see it in the Bible, where it says hope, it's put instead reliance and trust in God. And then it just cultivates a more relaxed feeling. And faith is the substance of things relied and trust in God, hope for.
Robert, what do you make of that?
No, absolutely. That is beautifully put.
Yeah.
I was actually at the Divine Mercy Shrine the other day, and I was reading that's defining hope as just putting one's trust in God. And what more beautiful thing to give to the world than the Chaplet of Divine Mercy? It's just continually saying, Jesus, ufam tobia, Jesus, I trust in you. I mean, I think in a nutshell, that basically encapsulates the virtue of hope, is that radical trust.
Kathleen, what a beautiful comment. Thank you so much for calling and sharing that insight with us.
You're welcome.
And it's true, because we do use hope. Like Kathleen said, like, I hope I win the lottery. Well, that is not at all the same as the virtue of hope. That's a very different meaning. I'm going to just keep moving because I want to get people on with you. Mark's in Ohio listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Mark, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Robert Mixa.
Hey, Robert. Actually, this is an interesting topic on hope. One of the things a priest told me many years ago is not only we always talk about despair against hope, but also presumption is also against hope, because if you presume anything, you don't need hope. And I think with presumption, you need hope in order to be able to be sympathetic towards other people. And I can understand how that combines with love, because that hope gives you the ability to be to have empathy and have love for other people. The thing that I my question is when it comes to faith, because I have a lot of friends who are not Catholic, and when things go bad, they always say, "Oh, you got to have faith in this. You got to have faith in this." And they never seem to use the word hope. Can you compare and contrast What is the relationship between faith and hope, and where do they really diverge?
All right.
Well, I mean, tough question. I think that basically, I mean, they're very, very, very close. But to say that the hope is not necessarily like with I would actually say in Space Salvi, almost he doesn't really make much of a distinction between the two. And I actually always wondered too if Pope Benedict, before getting to the virtue of hope, the virtue of faith, was actually going to end with covering that in the virtue of hope, because they're incredibly, incredibly close here. Now, the distinction between the two, to say that the faith, I have to actually just look at the definition of faith that, you know, I mean, it just seems to me that with faith, it's connected to obedience, okay? So like a hearing, and so there's actually, it seems to me that with faith, what we have here is an actual, like, there's a list of things that we actually just we believe. So I wouldn't put too much of a distinction between faith and hope, and I think that actually plays itself out in the letters of Paul, if you take a look at that. So, I mean, do you want to follow up with a little bit more?
Mark, did you?
Well, I just, you know, I was just kind of wondering if faith is more of an empirical type of thing. You know, I don't understand it, but I accept it, versus hope as in more as your earlier kind of putting trust in God more than trying to understand.
Yeah, I think that the faith is connected to, yeah, it also though has that trust dimension, because you are actually then, it's your duty to God, and you actually want to, as God though reveals himself and witnesses himself to us, so you are in the virtue of faith. It doesn't seem to me that that you're actually though, you know, actually I don't know how actually good of an answer I'm giving to you, but I think that actually with the faith and hope, I wouldn't have too much of a distinction between the two of them. Both are rooted in giving oneself to God. I mean, God, faith, you think of as God revealing himself to you, and you accept that. But hope is also kind of this future dimension that is added to it, so that God will keep his promises.
Mark, I'm going to leave it there only because I'd like to get as many on as I can. Jeff is in Mundelein in Illinois, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM satellite radio. Jeff, welcome. I'm sorry that you have to be kind of quick, but if you could be quick, Jeff, that would give Robert some time.
All good. Can you hear me? Bobby, it's good to talk to you. Hi from Mundelein.
Oh, you're your old friends, huh?
Jeff Carls. Good to hear from you.
Yes, indeed. You sound great. Just real quick, hi from Carmel High School. We miss you, and just wanted to get your advice regarding hope for the students. What's your advice on offering hope to these high school students in this crazy world?
Jeff, sorry, you know, Jeff Potasek. Okay, yeah,
yes.
Jeff, you know, when we worked together at Carmel Catholic High School in Mundelein, and especially tomorrow. So tomorrow I actually have the first day that I'm going back to teach in the classroom, the high school level. And I think that, you know, today students are so nervous about their futures. They are nervous that they don't go down the right track in college, get the right degree, that they're basically, I think that students today live with so much anxiety about the future. And I think that cultivating the virtue of hope and talking about it as putting one's trust in God and is keeping his promises, that no matter how your life goes, you have this foundation, you know, that you walk on the path of Christ. And so I think that I, you know, especially we talked about worldlyism, the world sins against hope. I think that if you can really, really, you know, point out those various things that we go after in this world to the students, especially by being an influencer or seeking power, money, whatever it may be, you may actually find them responding to that, seeing those things as kind of futile in that.
Oh, wonderful conversation. Thank you, Jeff, very much. I'm sorry I couldn't give you more time because that's an important one. How do we hand on this virtue of hope to the young? Robert Mixa, you can go to bed now. Thanks for staying up well past midnight to do the show with us. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Cy.
Check out the Space Salvi Institute. Just go to spacesalviinstitute.com. Find out what they're all about. When we come back, Jason Everett will be here with us. And we're going to talk. What do you think we're going to talk about with Jason Everett? Chastity. Chastity.